We ain't going out like that. Watch me go and bounce right back. Cause we ain't going out like that, no. We ain't going out like that. We ain't going out like that. Watch me go and bounce right back. Welcome to episode 2 of Any Given Season, a bowl season podcast. I'm Nick Carparelli, the executive director of bowl season, and we are excited to welcome to the show Tom Luganville. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, man. Thank you.
I wasn't going to attempt to say your title at ESPN.
I have a lot of titles.
Network. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things I could call you, all positive.
Well, I will say this. I've always believed that the more you can do, the more valuable you are,
yep.
And the harder it is for them to get rid of you, right? And so I've had the good fortune to be our scouting director and our national recruiting director. I've been a sideline analyst. I've been a booth analyst. I've been a studio host, and I've loved every second of it. I'm going into my 20th year here. It's been a blast.
You know, the one thing I've always admired about you watching your work, and one thing I would call you, is a football junkie.
Right? Yeah, I am a football junkie.
There are guys who probably like football, but, you know, they just want to be big time. They want to play at Clemson or Florida State,
sure.
Or they want to coach at that level. I mean. You played at the junior college,
yeah,
FCS,
everywhere,
Arena League, coached in the Arena League, yeah, the XFL. As long as it was football, you were all in. Tell us about your mindset and your love for the sport.
So I grew up the son of a college coach. So ever since I was this high, I was running around in a locker room, running around on a practice field, and I was, you know, around a lot of really, really good people. And anybody who's a coach that has kids, if you ever talk to a coach's kid, they're going to tell you it's the greatest upbringing of all time. And you know, I can remember when my dad was the head coach at San Diego State there in the early 90s, and I was coming up through high school and junior college, and I would go down and I would spend pretty much every waking moment of my middle school and high school years in that office. And I would always bounce around from the different coaches' offices. And I remember in 1992, I'm sitting in the running backs meeting, and the running back is Marshall Faulk. And the running back's coach is Sean Payton, right? So I'm sitting in there. I mean, I look back on those moments. I'm like, man, who was I in these meetings with? You know, and you think about some of these players. And then, you know, I had an opportunity. I got into coaching because I just love the sport of football. And I got into coaching. And I was in it for about 11 years. And I actually fell into this whole profession completely by accident.
Yep.
Completely by accident. I had no intention of being involved in the media, no intention of getting involved
in terms of, you know, finding things to do to make yourself valuable. I mean, you just had a knack for evaluating talent, right?
That's really where I dove in.
From coaching to that to this,
yes. And that's really what led to my job here is, you know, I had been involved in coaching, whether it was NFL Europe, the old XFL, the Arena Football League, what have you. And at a very young age, I had some really good opportunities to head a program or be the director of player personnel or be a director of football operations or an offensive coordinator. And for me, that was invaluable. And then it led into player evaluation and scouting, which ultimately led to getting hired at ESPN in 2005 in a scouting capacity. And, you know, I had to make a decision at that point. Do I want to get out of coaching and stay out of coaching and go down this path? Or am I going to be happy if I'm not coaching? And I found that scouting and player evaluation was the happy medium for me.
Let's transition, talk a little bit about all the off-field stuff that's really hit college football in the last,
yeah,
few years. NIL, transfer portal, yeah, we're on direct payments now. You know, you and I have gone back and forth on Twitter a little bit about that. I think we share some similar opinions,
yeah,
about, you know, the notion of, hey, you know, when you and I grew up, you played for the love of the game. Maybe your school got paid for, yeah, a little bit and you were grateful for that.
Sure.
Nowadays, guys are like, well, how much are you going to pay me? It's hard to build a culture in these football programs nowadays, I think.
Oh, there's no question about that. And I think, first of all, from a name, image, and likeness perspective, none of this was ever supposed to be geared towards recruiting. This was about the college student athlete having the opportunity to earn based off of who they are within their respective institution, okay? Well, how do you do that? How do you earn name, image, and likeness? Well, number one, you have to produce, you have to perform, right? And then once you do and you start earning, then you got to continue to perform. You have to, what we've done is we've gone the completely opposite side of this. Now we're saying, well, I want this, 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 and this, and it's, you know, it's reached down into the high school level, but you haven't earned any of it. Mm-hmm. I talk to coaches all the time. They say everybody has us so misunderstood. Everybody thinks that we hate name, image, likeness. I haven't talked to a single coach that hates name, image. Well, I've talked to every coach that doesn't like it when it's not earned.
Right.
It's not earned. Because it just like in life, if we go out and we're hired to do a job by a corporation or a company, do they pay us to do nothing? No.
Exactly.
And if we don't perform, guess what? We no longer have a job.
Yep.
And we're not operating in this world like that. And that's unfortunate.
And I think we need to. I think we still can, especially now. Yes. Once these direct payments start kicking in, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's unreasonable to expect a kid to sign an agreement, mm-hmm. get paid, mm-hmm. to play a game.
Yeah.
And then be obligated to play 12 regular season games, a bowl right. game, and the playoff. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Well, see, now we're getting into what is really the crux of the issue, and that is antitrust. Do we make them employees?
Right.
Because a lot of people who are not familiar with how the current system is set up, because they're not employees, the student athletes, because they're not employees, they are not, you cannot put performance standards in their contracts. So we hear all the time about a player signing somewhere, he doesn't pan out, or a transfer signing somewhere, and then he leaves again, he doesn't have to give any of that money back.
Right?
Because you can't require them to do anything. What you're talking about, and I think what everybody with an ounce of common sense is saying, is okay, this has to be a two-way street, just like it is in the National Football League. There's a collecting
bargaining. Which, by the way, NFL players get 16 paychecks.
Correct. And they agree to terms
right.
of which they have to fulfill their end of the bargain, right?
Right.
And the organization has to. That's not what we're doing in college athletics right now. So if we're going to continue to give the something for nothing, which is exactly what we're doing, then we're going to continue to see a high failure rate, because you're doing this with 18 to 22-year-old kids, and they're not equipped, maybe don't have the infrastructure in the background to navigate the space correctly. And that's what's turned into this huge mess. We've got to have standards. We've got to have performance. For example, if an NFL team is out of the playoffs in week 11, do you ever see any players sitting out?
No.
But a college football player can say, I'm not playing in a bowl.
Yep.
No, well, that's not how it works.
We probably have, but we're going to start seeing guys, teams 4-7, and he says, I'm not playing the last regular season game.
Right. Well, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
We got to put these guys, you got to have performance standards. You got to say, hey, if you sign a contract with us, you're going to play all of your regular season games. You will participate in a bowl game. If you make the college football playoff, you will participate there. There's got to be some standards by which, and I'm not anti-transport, I'm not anti-NIL, but it can't be the wild, wild west. We have to have a structure. Can you imagine the NFL if it was run like this?
It would come burning down
in flames.
No doubt. Well, I think we'll get there like everything else in college athletics. It's going to take a long
eventually,
time.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're now joined by Stanford quarterback Ashton Daniels. Ashton, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you being here. Born in Atlanta, Georgia, won 3 state titles at Buford High School. Go all the way out to Stanford. How did that happen?
Yeah. By the luck of the draw, Coach Tavita Pritchard with the old coaching staff somehow found me, reached out to me. As soon as I heard that Stanford was interested in me, and they pulled the trigger and offered, I knew that I had to take that opportunity. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity to be at Stanford University, and I'm extremely grateful for it.
And what a cool thing that you go to Stanford, not thinking that in your career you'd be playing conference games. Back in your
right,
geography, you get
right.
to see friends and family.
Yeah.
I get to see you play more often.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited for it. You know, as soon as we heard that ACC was a rumor for Stanford, I was extremely excited. You know, my family started to get excited, and then it was finalized. My family started already booking all the tickets, all the plane tickets. You know, up to Syracuse. They'll be driving up to both NC State and Clemson. So it'll be great to finally play in front of my friends and family again. It's going to be awesome.
So I love the way, you know, you've kind of gone about your career so far. It's kind of a normal way, if that makes
right.
sense, right? You went through the recruiting process out of high school. You make a great decision, go to Stanford freshman year. you weren't a starter, but you played a little bit in 10 games. Last year, you started 10 games. Now you're third year on campus. You're the man. How are you embracing that role and that evolution into that position?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just extremely grateful for it. I knew that I was just going to get my opportunity at some point. I just had to take it and run with it. And I think that's what I've done so far. You know, Coach Taylor trusted in me to start last year. And you know, I took that and ran with it. And, you know, I think I've done a great job of, you know, kind of gaining the leadership and the respect of my teammates. And, you know, it's just amazing to be in that locker room with those guys. With such, you know, it's just a prestigious school. It's always, you know, known for its athletics and academics. And, you know, just to have the opportunity to be at Stanford is one thing. But being a starting quarterback there is a whole nother thing that I can't even, you know, go in to talk about how grateful I am for that.
Stanford hasn't been to a bowl game since 2018, so that's 6 years. Prior to that, they'd been to 10 straight bowl games.
Yep.
So a little unusual. How important is it for you and your team to get back to a bowl game?
Yeah, extremely important. You know, that's always a big, you know, goal for us that we set towards the end of the season. We kind of set that, but at the same time, we like to be where our feet are and focus on one game at a time, you know. So, you know, the bowl game is always in the back of our minds. But we know that we just have to focus on the next opponent and do what we need to do, and we'll eventually get there.
You know, because you were recruited 3 years ago, you're kind of the first generation from the beginning of the NIL era.
Yep.
Right? How do you and your teammates, I know you can't speak for them, but how do you approach NIL, you know, the notion of maybe being an employee, and how much is that a factor, do you think, for most guys in terms of choosing a school?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big factor. You look at college football and the landscape of NIL these days, and obviously it's taking a pretty huge toll on college football. But you know, Stanford has our Lifetime Cardinal Collective. They do an outstanding job of providing us the resources that we need, as well as, you know, going out and getting that community service and showing our face in the community, so you know we can gain the respect of our community and of our fans, you know, and that helps to create that larger fan base. And I think that's something that NIL continues to do that people don't necessarily see.
We now welcome to the show Stanford head football coach Troy Taylor. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for joining us.
Just finished your first season as head coach at Stanford. You kind of came up through it. You played at Cal, 20 years as an assistant coach, finally get your first head coaching job at the FCS level at Sacramento State. Last year, first year at Stanford. Tell me about it.
Yeah. I spent 14 years as a high school coach. So I was I was at Cal for 5 years and 4 years, and then went back and coached high school before I came back into college football. So I've definitely had a road less traveled, but I'm glad to be where I'm at.
You know, I'm a big fan of that path, though. I think you probably see it. You have a lot of the younger generation kind of tends to want to jump in at the highest level.
Yeah.
But you think about it, you know, what better way to learn than at the lower levels where you really have to coach, you have to teach. And then as you get better at your craft, you move up to each level. Do you think that is the best way to go? Certainly for you, that seems to work.
It's a unique path for sure. So my intention was when I left college football, really, from the beginning, I wanted to be a high school football coach. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband and then build a great football program. And so I started out in college, but wanted to come back, went to high school, did that for a while with no intention of going back to college. And then had a lot of fun, did it for a while, and then decided that I wanted to give another shot at college football, kind of accomplish the things it wanted to at the high school level. And led me on this path, and yeah, was at Eastern Washington for a year, and then Utah for two, and then I was at Sacramento State, now I'm at Stanford.
You obviously had your work cut out for you when you took the job. You only had 70 scholarship players last year. You went 3-9. Stanford hasn't been to a bowl game since 2018. They went to 10 in a row, haven't been to one for 6 years. You got through year one. What are you expecting in year two?
Yeah, well, you know, when we first took the job, we lost 17 players in the transfer portal, 13 starters. It's a lot. You know, the whole COVID thing when everybody got an extra year of eligibility, that senior class that we were inheriting, they had all graduated. So unfortunately, we lost a lot of them to the transfer portal, wanted them to stay. And at Stanford, you're just not going to be able to replace guys, that many guys, because we're only going to get maybe two or three transfer portal guys each year. We're going to do it through high school athletes. Mm-hmm. So we were very thin. A lot of guys that hadn't played much. But the good news is those guys got some experience, and now they'll be a little bit more experienced, a little bit better, and our depth is much better. We're up to, you know, basically the full allotment of scholarship players, which, as you mentioned, we were not last year. So we're a deeper team. We'll see. I don't know what that will mean win-wise. I don't have a crystal ball, but I know we're a deeper team, and I know we're a better team.
So how does a guy who played at Cal feel about being the head coach at the biggest rival?
Yeah, it's definitely unique. But once you kind of get into a game, you know, it's really kind of a faceless opponent, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So there's moments where it's a little interesting. I certainly root for Cal. I love Cal. It's just a little bit strange, maybe when you first get to the stadium or whatever. But yep. Other than that, it just goes into kind of autopilot and competing in a game.
You touched upon this a little bit a minute ago. What's your philosophy of recruiting high school kids versus through the transfer portal? And how has NIL figured into your philosophy?
Yeah, so, you know, the transfer portal, I mean, it's just not a real viable option for us. So we just can't get – we're looking for unicorns, right, guys that are incredible students, incredible athletes. So we got to do it through high school athletes, which I love. We're big on culture, continuity, and development. And so I want to see our players there for 4 years, watch them develop and be better players their sophomore year, junior year, and senior year, and then supplement maybe with a couple of transfer portal guys. But we're going to do it kind of the old school way, where you bring in a high school student athlete, you'd invest in them, get them better, and then hopefully those dividends pay off at the end of their career.
Probably a tricky question for you to answer, because you have to kind of be a little bit politically correct, but you know, the level of competition in what was the Pac-12 versus the level of competition that you're now going to face in the ACC, similar?
Well, I mean, last year, the Pac-12 was probably the best conference in the country.
Ironically, right?
Yeah, it really year. Was. Yeah. It was really good. I mean, the schedule we played last year was amazing. The ACC is a great, really good conference. It's got great coaches and great players, tough places to play. So we went from one tough conference to another one. You know, if you're playing at this level of football, you got to love playing against great teams. And so we're really excited about it.
We now welcome Cal quarterback Fernando Mendoza. Fernando, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
So let's talk about the last couple of years. You attended Columbus High School in Miami, Florida. But before we even get into your tenure at Cal, how does a kid from Miami end up at Cal?
Yeah, so it's opposite coast. You have Miami to San Francisco.
I mean, as long as there's a beach.
As long as there's a beach or a coast, I'm all good.
All right.
And actually, kind of funny, we're in the ACC now because you can see the Pacific Coast from our stadium.
Nice.
And we're an Atlantic Coast team. So that's a little bit ironic. But out of high school, I was committed to Yale. And my only scholarship offer rolled around, which was Cal. And I needed to capitalize on the opportunity with the Pac-12, rip Pac-12. But it was great competition. And I had a great coaching staff. And so I really give it to Coach Wilcox for believing in me. And I promised him that I'd be the best decision he's ever made. And every single day I try to uphold that promise.
Kind of cool for you. You got a little bonus that you didn't bargain for. You go all the way to the West Coast, but now you're going to be playing conference games on the East Coast. Your friends and family will be able to see you. You must be excited about that.
I'm very excited because my family, they've been staying up till 2 a.m. watching my Pac-12 games. And now we're the ACC. I grew up an ACC kid, being from Miami, Florida.
Yep.
Loving all the Florida teams and all the teams on the Atlantic Coast. So I love the ACC, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
So you played in 9 games last year after redshirting in 2022. I think that's right. You finished 6-6. Go to the Independence Bowl. First bowl game in 4 years for Cal.
Yeah.
That had to be pretty cool. I'm sure getting to a bowl game this year is obviously a big goal for yours. Tell me what your bowl game experience was like.
So, yeah, I mean, that's something at Cal we've talked about for a long time because we were in a 4-year drought. Then on that second, we were 3-6 in the middle of the season. We just suffered a devastating loss to Oregon. The team, we came together, we were resilient, and we're like, hey, we're going to do this thing. We're going to make a bowl game. We went out the next 3 games. It was amazing. And then we made a bowl game first time in 4 years. And we look forward to, instead of being 6-6 this year, to make a great bowl game at 10-2 or even better.
That's a great goal. Now, I love that perspective. Everybody talks about the playoff, and every team wants to be in the playoff. Not every football program is equipped to be challenging for a playoff spot yep. every year. If there were no bowl games, what would you guys have had to play for at 3-6? You might not have had that motivation. You had a goal to achieve, and I'm sure that's I love the fact that you're trying to strive to even be better this year.
Yeah.
So great stuff. We now welcome to the show Cal quarterback Chandler Rogers. Chandler, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So I need you to tell me your story a little bit. You attend Lake Ridge High School in Mansfield, right. Texas. You've been to, this will be your fifth college.
Correct.
Right? So quite a journey. I'm sure there's a story behind each one. Southern Miss, Blinn Junior College, Louisiana Monroe, North Texas, where you played a ton the last couple of years, had some great games, and now you're at Cal. Tell me about that journey.
It's been a long journey, starting with Southern Miss. Thinking that was the place for me. I had a three-year plan, be three and done. And, you know, things unfolded, unfortunately, with the office and staff that I signed with were gone by the time I got there. So I'm trying to learn a new staff, learn a different office I had no idea about. And I found that this wasn't for me. So after that, I wasn't given my waiver at the time where we needed waivers. So I'm that old. It's really right before COVID happened. So I transferred to Blinn when COVID happened. And everything for us as far as junior college is, yes, it pushed to the spring. So I had to wait till spring of 2021 to be able to play. And then I went to ULM. They had a transfer portal camp when everything first opened up. And I had a couple of high school teammates there. And after that, they talked about, like, hey, they're offering guys to come play right now. And I really didn't want to go because I knew my talent and I knew, like, I'm good enough to be offered how I was in high school. But my dad was like, just go see what happens. If not, you know, you always can go back to Blinn for another year and go from there. So I took the opportunity, and Coach Rich Rodriguez believed in me, and Coach Hot Rod, who are now at Jacksonville State, they believed in me, and the rest is history. I haven't missed a game since.
Yep, excellent. I think Cal is the only team to bring two quarterbacks to this media day. Obviously, you and Fernando are in a little bit of a competition. How did the two of you approach that?
You know, when it comes to football, it's business. We both want to play. We both want to, you know, be the guy. That's just part of a competitive nature, right? If you're a competitor, you want to be the guy. You want to play. You want to get the glitz and glamour of those perks of being the quarterback of the team. But at the same time, doing what's best for the team. We both want to win. So anything that's best for the team, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So tell me about playing in a new conference. Last year, Cal was in the Pac-12. You obviously weren't a part of that. Now they're in the ACC. Geography is a little bit different. How has that been for you, and how much are you looking forward to playing schools that you probably watched on TV for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Texas, so I'm kind of familiar with those teams from Florida State and Virginia Tech. Just being close to geography. But it's going to be an interesting challenge for us, but there's a plan in place for us to be able to handle it and to be able to perform at a high level. So there's really no excuse for us, just leaving a day early. Leaving Thursday instead of Friday for away games is something that Cal has done before when traveling to new time zones. So the plan was already there. The platform was already there. We just have to go follow it and execute on Saturdays.
All right. We now welcome to the show Cal head football coach, Justin Wilcox. Coach, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hard to believe you're entering your eighth year as the head coach at Cal. Can you even believe that? We met 7 years ago when I was at Under Armour. We signed you guys.
It's just gone by so fast, and the landscape has changed so significantly. So, yeah, once you get in, it just kind of goes.
And it's changing significantly this
year.
As you speak, yep. Tell me, having played in the Pac-12 last year, you watched film, I'm sure, on a lot of ACC schools. Level of competition similar? Do you see many differences?
Well, ultimately, we'll find out once we get on the field. Pac-12 was a phenomenal conference last year, some great teams, great players. And then looking forward to this season, we know that there's going to be some really talented teams, individual players. The coaching is exceptional, some storied programs. We're excited for it. We don't control the schedule. We're honored to be in the ACC. And we're just looking forward to getting back on the field and playing.
One of the things I dislike the most about all this conference realignment is it's really hurting a lot of great rivalries in the sport. I'm sure you'd love the Pac-12 to still be intact, but if nothing else, at least Stanford is partnering with you in the move, and that rivalry will stay alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to both schools. I know how much it means to our team, our alumni, our student body, and it's a great rivalry. Been around a long time, play for the Axe. There's a lot of history there. And so, we're excited to keep that going.
So I thought it was really impressive last year. You started out 3-6 somehow. Mm-hmm. Obviously people debate the value of bowl games. Bowl games give you something to play for. You rally, win the last three games, got an opportunity to go to the Independence Bowl. after not going to a bowl for a few years. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, really, the guys on the team, we went up and played at Oregon, and we didn't play well, and they got after us. I mean, they kicked our butt, and the guys in the locker room, we had a real direct talk, and the guys on the team took it upon themselves. We had to go 3-0 to finish the season and get to a bowl game, and they did that. You know, went out and played a ranked Wazoo team, very talented guys, played its, you know, Stanford rivalry game, and then went down to UCLA on the road and won that one. So really proud of the way the guys finished. I thought it spoke to their character. Obviously, we need to put ourselves in better positions toward the end of the season, but I thought it was meaningful just for them to show kind of what they're all about and the character that those guys have.
You've been a part of a lot of bowl games, three as a head coach, a number as assistant coach, even maybe as a player. Tell me about the bowl game experience. Are there any bowl games or moments during the bowl week that are most memorable to you?
Oh, we'd be here too long. I mean, bowl games are part of college football, and I got great memories as a player and as a coach. And whether you're talking about the value of continuing to build your team and get extra reps and young players developing, the reward of bowl season, playing at a new venue against a new program, I mean, there's just so many things that are advantageous of bowl games. And so I don't know if I have one. I think there's just been too many to list. And they're all a little unique and special. And so it's our goal to always play in as good a bowl game as we possibly can.
You mentioned team building. You know, we're in a very different era now with NIL, direct payments, transfer portal. How can you build a team culture nowadays? It's got to be really hard.
Chemistry is a skill, like blocking and tackling, and we talk a lot about it. And we have mandated team activities so that the guys engage with each other. And we have really strong leadership. Craig Woodson, Fernando, Jaden, David Reese, we've got all these guys. And those guys take it upon themselves to get the team together. They spend a lot of time together. We got 40 new faces, but I would say our chemistry is as strong as it's been because they know and care about it. And there is value, significant value in team chemistry. And you know, how much is that worth? Is it worth an extra first down or 3 points or a touchdown? I don't know, but it's worth something. And those guys work at it because they understand how important it is.
We now welcome to the show Wake Forest defensive lineman, Jasheen Davis. Jasheen, thanks nice for joining
you.
Us.
Nice to meet you. Appreciate it.
All right, so you're kind of an anomaly nowadays with players hopping around from school to school. You entered as a freshman in 2020 at Wake Forest, and you're still there. Tell us about your career at Wake so far.
It's been pretty good. I feel like I experienced the highs and the lows of 2021 year, my redshirt freshman year, but my first year playing, we had the opportunity to go to the ACC championship game. So pretty, it was a blessing because you see what hard work takes and then it pays off. And even the last 2 years, you know, going to 7 straight bowl games, going to 3 straight bowl games in my first 3 years here at Wake, like I said, it was pretty good. Even last year, you know, even though we didn't have a good season, I feel like it was still a lesson in a way. You can't take anything for granted. And I think everything happens for a reason.
So speaking of bowl games, Wake Forest had a pretty good streak going. Last year was kind of an anomaly. I don't expect that that's going to last. But you played in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. You beat Wisconsin, the Gator Bowl, defeated Rutgers, and the Gasparilla Bowl defeated Missouri. So right. pretty good experience for you. Tell me about those bowl experiences. Any of them stick out in your mind? And something on the field? Could be the bowl week events, which everybody talks about. What do you remember most?
Well, I feel like the first two bowl games, it was kind of a fluke because of COVID, so we had to follow strict policies. But when we went to the Tax Layer Bowl, we was on Amelia Island, so being in a resort and everything and having the beach right there, you know, it was a pretty cool experience. I feel like, you know, having the opportunity to go to the beach clears your mind and stuff like that. So even when we went to Tampa, you know, just the fact that we had the nightlife and stuff, rode around on scooters and everything, it was a pretty good feeling. The game itself, though, in Tampa, when we played Missouri, it was cold. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was at that game, actually. Yeah,
it was pretty cold. But, you know, when you win, you know, you block out the coldness and just go celebrate with your team. So just being able to have those experiences in bowl games and stuff like that, I feel like it made the team closer. And I hopefully, you know, we get back to that again this year. But like I said, you know, I'm just ready for the season, the one-week season.
What's different about this year versus last year that's going to get you back into that bowl game?
Having a lot of returners come back. I feel like that last year, you know, we had a lot of new guys. We had an older team the year before. So last year, you know, it's the first time players actually got the experience of playing in a game. So I feel like that, you know, sometimes, you know, you have your ups and your downs. But now that you have experience, you know, now you can just build on that and just become more consistent. And I feel like this year, you know, our mantra is just to earn everything we do. So the fact that, you know, that we have a lot of returning starters is a good thing, because like that kind of minimizes mistakes that probably plagued us last year at times. So, yeah, I think that's a good thing.
Yep, for sure. We now welcome to the show Duke offensive lineman Justin Pickett. Justin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you're from Carmel, Indiana.
Yep.
You enrolled at Duke 4 years ago. You're kind of an anomaly nowadays that you've been at the same school for 4 years.
Yep.
Tell me about your thought process of going to Duke in the first place and then staying there for 4 years.
Yeah, so when I first was getting recruited by Duke, obviously David Cutcliffe was the head coach there, and obviously I just was looking for the school that I felt was the best fit for me, whether that be with that being football and academically and as like a culture. And I felt like Duke was just a special place to be a part of. We have leaders, like guys who have gone through Duke, like Graham Barden and Dwayne Carter and Jacob Monk, who have gone on to have like successful careers in like the NFL and will continue to for a long time. So just like seeing the landscape of what Duke can create for me on and off the field was a super special part and connection I had with Duke University. So that kind of made me want to attend Duke and then also stay at Duke. So
probably didn't plan for the fact that you had one head coach recruiting you, mm-hmm. play for another head coach. Now you have kind of the third head coach.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. It's become like kind of the culture of college football is just people moving around, people finding new opportunities. And I think obviously people have to do what's best for them, but I think it's a part of the game and it's part of the NFL as well. And that's my dream. The aspiration is to go to the NFL. So just kind of getting used to that. But I think what made Duke special for me was just the culture and kind of understanding where I want to be and who I wanted to be with doing and accomplishing all my goals. So that made it special for me, making me want to stay at Duke.
So your progression as a player is, you know, kind of the way it's supposed to be. You know, you kind of get your feet wet as a freshman and don't play a lot. You've had 10 starts in your career, 7 were last year. So now you're in a position to take more of a leadership role. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I couldn't be more excited. Obviously, I've followed the guidance of like my family and like the coaches and the new staff, and obviously like leaders like Jacob Monk, Dwayne Carter, guys like that. So just kind of following by example and like truly turning this into like the team and leadership and locker room I want to have as a player. So
in 2 year seasons, you've been a part of two bowl games, the Military Bowl in 2022, a victory against Central Florida.
Yes, sir.
And then last year, the Birmingham Bowl victory against Troy. Tell us about your bowl experience and any memorable moments during the game or maybe even during the bowl week that everybody talks about.
Obviously like playing bowl season is just a special time of year. Obviously you get to keep doing what you love, which is play football, but outside of the game, obviously there's cool events. Like at the Military Bowl, we did packing meals for like military families, we did like Christmas events, going like bowling and stuff like that, obviously. And then at the Birmingham Bowl, we did a lot of fun events. We went to like Selma and other things like that. And so kind of just being able to do that with the guys outside of football makes it a truly fun experience.
Yeah, special time, right? I mean, when are you going to have the opportunity to do something like that again with your closest friends?
Yeah.
We now welcome to the show Duke quarterback Malik Murphy. Malik, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Guy from Inglewood, California, goes to Texas, played in 7 games, started a couple. Now you're at Duke. You're kind of working your way across the country. Tell us about your journey from high school all the way to Duke.
Man, it's been a roller coaster, to tell you the truth. Played my final high school game at a state championship. Ended up breaking my leg in the final minutes of it. Goes into college halfway across the country with the broken leg. It was tough recovering, getting adjusted all at the same time to college, but I made the most out of it, honestly. I grew to love the city of Austin. I grew to love my teammates and the team that I was on, so I don't regret any of it. I love that time of my life, and you know, now that I'm here, I'm hoping to love it the same way, if not more, you know?
No such thing as bad experiences, right? Just opportunities to learn and experience something new.
So
now you're at Duke, you know, great season last year under a different head coach, new head coach coming in, new quarterback. What should we be expecting from the Duke Blue Devils this year?
You should be expecting a very explosive offense. You should be expecting a very, very, very hard to score on defense. Going against them in practice is not easy at all. Coach Diaz, being a defensive head coach, you know, it makes it tough
on the offense to kind of win practice. But, you know, it's fun. It's very competitive. And that's all I can ask for, because it's a competitive sport at the end of the day. And it makes all of us better.
So we're in a still kind of a new era in college sports where players are able to earn money through NIL. Soon it'll be direct payments. Obviously, transfer portal allowed you to get to a place that's you know, in your mind's going to be better for you, give you a better opportunity to play. How do you balance those decisions?
Yeah.
You know, money versus where's the best situation for me, where versus doing right for my teammates and the guys who believe in me. How does that balance?
I guess you could do your best to get a happy medium, or try to find the best of both worlds, which is very hard to do. You know, there's not many places that's going to fit you exactly how you want it. You know, there's always going to be something a little, I don't want to say off, but something that you probably wasn't expecting.
Nothing's going into perfect a program. In the world.
Yeah,
right?
Nothing's perfect. So with that being said, I feel like you should go into a situation with an open mindset, ready to learn even more, and really just hope for a place that'll help you continue to grow as a player, as a person, and as an athlete, hoping to get to the next level, because this is not the final step.
Right. Have you played the new college football EA Sports game? Silly question.
Have.
Of course, yeah.
I have.
Do you play Duke, or are you somebody else?
So I played one game with Duke, and I turned off the game halfway through because I didn't realize how bad I was.
So you don't agree with your rating then?
No, I'm not even my rating, bad at the game. Like, it was, when I tell you, I kind of got away from gaming for a while. Every time I turn on PlayStation, I kind of just watch movies. But of course, when a game comes out, I'm like, okay, you know, I've been waiting on this. I got to play it.
Yeah.
And I played against a computer. I'm like, man, a computer kind of whooping me right now. I got to get better. So I just been going heavy Roads of Glory. I made a quarterback. He committed to Coastal Carolina, and then I was like the third straight near. So I ended up transferring to Minnesota after my freshman year. So it's been a roller coaster on the game too.
All right, we now welcome to the show Boston College quarterback Tommy Castellanos. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Kid from Waycross, Georgia, goes further south to Central Florida for a year and then transfers way up north to Boston College. Well, tell me about what went into that decision and you know, how it's gone for you the last year or so.
Well, my freshman year at UCF, I was redshirted, and then I burnt my redshirt in the conference championship game. And the quarterback at the time was coming back for his sixth year, and I was like, okay, you know, it's time to go, you know, leave and go, you know, find somewhere to play. I had a lot of options on the table, a lot of big schools. But my main thing was, like, I didn't care about the money, the NIL, anything like that. I just wanted to go where I can get a, you know, nice degree, you know, get developed, and where I was going to play, like, right away and, you know, make an impact, you know, and show the world what I can do. And BC was that place for me.
Not too many guys can rush for over 1,000 yards and throw for over 2,000 yards. Makes you very dangerous. What advantage does that, think, does that give you on every Saturday in the fall?
It gives me a lot of advantage. A lot of teams, a lot of coaches come up to me after the game, a win or a loss, and they just like, man, like it's so hard to, like, you know, game plan, or it's so hard to, like, you know, stop. So it's good when, like, a coach or somebody or a player come up and say that, man, because it just, you know, let me know, you know, to keep going, or, you know, to keep making it frustrating or, you know, hard for them guys to cover us or to stop me.
Now, when you transferred to Boston College, you came there to play for Coach Hafley. Obviously, you had a great year last year. Nobody likes a coaching change, but Coach O'Brien come in, very different style, great track record working with quarterbacks. How's that been for you so far?
Great. I've only been with him for a couple of months, but the wisdom that he's been able to pass down on these couple of months from all the experience, you know, that he's had with all these great guys, it's been unbelievable. It's allowed me to reach out to some of these guys and contact them and ask about him or the offense or of that nature. But it's been really great. He's coached and been around a lot of great players, and I'm happy that I'm, you know, I'm one of them.
And you got a chance to go to a bowl game. Didn't travel very far to it, but a unique experience nonetheless. What was your favorite, most memorable, you know, part about the Fenway Bowl, either on the field or during bowl week?
I would say on the field, well, in the locker room, just being able to be in Fenway, that's very big to, like, the Boston, you know, community, to play in Fenway. So being able to use the Sox Stadium, it was crazy. being able to be in their locker rooms and their showers and being able to kind of be in their shoes for a day and a half. So it was pretty like just a dream come true almost, you know.
Did they let you go in the Green Monster and check that out too?
The Green Monster is...
It's Fenway. It's the big wall there.
Yeah, they let us go in it and sign our name inside of it and stuff like that. So it was amazing.
We now welcome to the show Boston College head coach Bill O'Brien. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you're back in college, right? You're the obviously assistant at the Patriots for a lot of years. You're the head coach at Penn State for two, head coach for the Texans. Obviously, you were at Alabama for a little bit. Now you're a head coach a second time in college. What are you looking forward to the most about coaching college kids?
I really enjoy the day-to-day interaction with college kids. I really enjoy standing up in front of a team and having a message for them for that day and, you know, trying to impact their lives on a daily basis. I think as a head coach, you can really do that in a lot of different ways, not even just in football. I really like this team that I'm coaching. I can't wait to get in the car every morning and get to work because I enjoy being around these guys. I love coaching this team. I love the job. I feel like I'm a really good fit for the job. I haven't always felt like, you know, a great fit at some of the jobs I've had. And this job, I feel, is a great fit for me. And so I'm very happy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Now, your 2 years at Boston, at Penn State, you qualified for bowl games both years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, weren't able to go. No. Are you looking forward to going to your first bowl game as a head coach?
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that was a tough time because, you know, we did have a couple good teams, but, you know, we couldn't go to a bowl. So our bowl game was both years was the Wisconsin game, which we won both those games in 12 and 13. And so this year it'll be good to, you know, become bowl eligible, take it one game at a time, but become bowl eligible and be able to go to a bowl. It'd be a lot of fun.
I want to talk to you about your philosophy to recruiting. Right here in the ACC, you have extremes. Louisville has 31 guys they pulled out of the transfer portal. Clemson has none. You're somewhere in between. What's your philosophy and how do you balance getting kids out of the portal versus kids from high school?
I think as time goes on, we're going to be much more of a high school recruiting staff. If a guy ends up in the portal and he's a good fit, maybe he finishes second team at, you know, a place that's an academic school like a Notre Dame, a Stanford, and he feels like, you know, we have a spot for him to start, you know, and he would understand the rigors of the academic world that we live in at BC, then, yeah, that would be a good fit, and we would look at that guy. But overall, the majority of our team will be built through high school recruiting. We want to retain our team, too. So when the transfer portal opened after spring practice, you know, we kept our whole team. That's what we really want to do. We want to develop players, coach them, see them get better. We're in the retention business. We're not in the
feels like you got to recruit your current roster sometimes.
You do. You have to. You have to communicate with them. You have to. I don't even know if it's as much recruiting as it is just like developing a relationship with them, so that when they do decide that maybe they want to take off and go somewhere, at least you have a relationship with the guy, and you can tell them, hey man, here's why it's important for you to stay at BC, or hey look, it probably is in your best interest to go somewhere else. So I think it's all about communication.
Good, Coach. This has not been nearly enough time. How about I come up to Boston next week and we finish this discussion?
Anytime. You know you're welcome. Anytime. You know you got a great friend up there and me, but Bears and Jarian. So
yes, he's my guy.
Come on up.
Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that'll do it for episode 2 of Any Given Season. Please catch all of our future episodes on our website, bowlseason.com, or follow us on social media at bowlseason. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming, it's been a long, long time.